This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, coming up this hour, we have got the good, the bad, and the dumb. And by the way, happy throwback Thursday to you. 2001, Barry Bonds hit his 73rd home run. We also can go back to 1918, where the Georgia Tech football team beat Cumberland College 222-0. They carried the ball for 978 yards. They never threw a pass in the game. So there, but we thought the 2001 music was better than 1918 music just before Prohibition.
Just slightly.
Exactly. Today, the Boston Red Sox, tonight I should say, the Boston Red Sox will head to St. Petersburg. It'll be game one of the American League Divisional Series. The Tampa Bay Rays, the number one seed in the American League, will start this best of five playoff series. And I just want to point out something. We've kind of been we talk about it a lot with Pat Donovan, what that city of Tampa, Florida has been going through. Once again, they are moving right, transitioning right into the thing that matters in sports, which is the postseason. And they are the defending American League champions. They've got a fantastic baseball team, favored to win the pennant again in the AL. They have had a year so far. If you wouldn't even want to go back to 2019, into 2021, they have had a year in which the Rays went to the World Series, the Lightning won the Stanley Cup, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have won the Super Bowl, the Lightning won the Stanley Cup again, and the Rays are now beginning their postseason run. It's great. When you're in a city that is doing those kind of things, it's remarkable. Compare that to New York, where it's two football teams have one win between, for each of them, coming off victories last week. The New York Yankees and the New York Mets massively disappointed their fan bases with the play of the 2021 season. Don't forget, the Mets were in the division lead before they fell apart, and the Yankees had to win 11 in a row in September just to get in a one-game playoff with the Red Sox with an identical record to a team that went into the season rebuilding. The Knicks are promising but still haven't showed anything, and yet all of the fun and excitement of postseason is down in St. Petersburg, where New Yorkers go to retire. It's the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next, and then we'll talk to Jerry Palm, some college football, all this hour. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb on a throwback Thursday. Glad you can be with us on Sports Map Radio. All right, let's get things started with the good of the day.
The good of the day. You're going to love the story. Because I saw it, and I was like, you know what? I don't know if this is really like, you know, the stereotypical good of the day that we normally do.
Right.
But I found the story fantastic. Andrew Lloyd Webber. We all know who he is, you know.
The composer.
The composer has written more famous musicals than anyone could ever do. Revealed in an interview recently the impulse buy he had to make in order to cope with seeing Cats, the film.
Oh, okay, because that movie was panned badly.
Yes. So yeah. After he saw Cats the first time, he was like, oh, dear God. And instantly went out and bought a dog.
That's great.
He's upset with what they did to the movie. But not only that, it took it a step further.
Is this something?
Oh, why is my phone talking here? He took it a step further that he was able to get the dog registered as a support animal.
Oh, even better.
And so, you know, so he can travel to New York City. This is in his words. I wrote off and I said I needed him with me at all times because I'm emotionally damaged and I must have this therapy dog. The airline wrote back and said, can you prove that you really need him? And I said, yes. Just see what Hollywood did to my musical Cats.
Oh, I bet they gave him the service dog in seconds.
Then the approval came back with a note saying, no doctor's report required.
That's awesome. Wow. Can you imagine the people that were involved in that abomination of a movie?
The biggest problem is that there's two versions.
There is?
Yes.
Okay.
And I don't think I'm allowed to say the word on air, but there is a I'll do it this way. There is a B-hole version and a non-B-hole version.
Got it.
If you get what I'm
saying. Yeah. Right? Oh, no. Listen, what a disaster that was. I didn't see it, but
I haven't seen it either.
I mean, that the second that movie came out, people were like, this might be the worst thing that has ever been created by mankind.
Even the actors who are in it were going, yeah, we don't want you to ever think about that. Jason Derulo, I guess, who was the star of the movie, fantastic singer.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever mentions. I think he wants IMDb to take it off his resume of films.
Oh my god, it's like Batman and Robin for George Clooney.
Yeah,
where he just goes, that movie stunk. Well, give money funny, back brother. To anybody.
George Clooney the other day said he refuses to have his wife ever watch it because he wants her to still respect her.
Yeah, and it's weird too. because not a lot of actors, there's only a few actors that can afford to turn down roles. Everybody else, you got to stay relevant. So if Cats comes. And you think to yourself at the time, this would be a big deal. This is going to be a big deal. I got to be involved in this. My agent's begging me to take this. I got to take it. And then halfway through production, you're probably like, this is awful. I don't know what we're going to do. But maybe you don't think that. Maybe in the final cut, you watch it when it's done. You go, holy crap, this is garbage. I don't know what's going to happen to me. They're going to ridicule me to death. I'm a dead man walking.
And they are.
Yeah.
Is it Judy Dench in that film, too?
Yes. And what was it? Rebel Wilson was in there?
Is she in it, too?
I think she was in it, too. Ugh.
So much mess. But.
Good for Andrew Lloyd
Andrew
Webber.
Andrew Lloyd Webber was able to get a therapy dog out of it.
Could get a therapy dog. That's awesome. Love it. What's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is NASA is planning on shooting a spacecraft into an asteroid.
Oh, no. This is Armageddon and Deep Impact. Why are they doing this?
Practice.
Oh, in case something ever comes our way?
Yeah. Okay. Don't you think this will make the asteroid mad? I just have that feeling. It's an asteroid, and then I guess there's like a little moon attached to the asteroid. So they're going to fire a spaceship, or some sort of ship, a rocket. This will come sometime in November when it blasts off to intercept it. I don't know if it's the path is near us, like if it's expected to come too close to us. But this could make it come close to us, I guess. I don't know.
Hollywood really did a number on me with those two movies, man. They really did. Yeah. I don't know the science if the science is accurate, but that movie scared me to death. That asteroids hitting the planet and just killing everything and giving us a winter forever. I was like, what?
There's a new one that I've been itching to watch that my wife watched without me, so I'm a little upset with her about it. Greenland.
Yeah, starring Gerard Butler.
Yeah.
Yeah. These things are no joke. Like, Hollywood pretends like, you know, one of these things lands, that's it. Life is over.
Well, I mean, nothing's stopping it.
Right?
I don't even know if you're gonna shoot a rocket. All I can think about is, you know, all the different, remember all the different things they kept saying in Armageddon?
Yeah.
Why don't we blast a rocket on it and you're going to have a million pieces falling towards you? How about we put solar sails?
Right. Exactly. And then Deep Impact. Remember Morgan Freeman was the president?
Yep.
And he spoke to the country. We had built a series of caves. And I'm like, caves? Oh, no, I'm never getting in there.
Well, that's what I'm
thinking.
I'm
never going into the cave. They'll see, what do you offer society? Nothing.
Poor humor.
Poor humor. I talk about sports, which we will not have for a long time in the new generation.
Well,
so.
Maybe that's why they would need us.
Yeah. That was always my joke.
That's your saving grace, Tony.
I tell people that all the time. You can recite any
Super Bowl.
That's right.
They'll need me in the next one.
Yeah.
Because they won't have books.
That's right. There's no room for the Super Bowl history book in the cave, so no. I need to go in the cave. I tell that to people all the time, like, about my job. I always go, yeah, I have a really fun job, but when the meteor comes, I don't get to go to the cave. Like, you engineers, botanists, medicine scientists, doctors, all of you get to go into the cave. They won't let me in. I'm just going to sit on the outside and watch the stars come raining from the heavens. So, yeah, go blast this asteroid out. Practice your shooting, NASA. Make sure these asteroids don't come to the planet.
Yeah. I just don't know.
I don't want to die some horrible asteroid-related death.
No. I'm just not a fan of the target practice that they're doing because I don't know.
Doesn't it feel like you're not getting told the full story as to why exactly
why doing this one?
Yeah, exactly. No. We're just shooting. We're just practicing. For what? Nah, nothing.
Nothing. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Just
what was the other line
in
Armageddon? Yeah, only 11 telescopes can see this. We control 10 of them.
Right. We control. Exactly. Exactly. Oh,
so that's
God.
You know they know something we don't.
All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day. I don't know if you know this, Tony, but there's a pandemic sweeping across New York City.
Pandemic?
Yeah.
Really? New York?
Yep.
Is it Yankee timely hitting?
No. Oh, too soon.
Too soon is right.
But you're close. No, underage drinkers are getting upset. Because their fake IDs don't match their vaccination cards.
Oh, no kidding.
And you need both to get into a bar or a club in New York City now.
Oh, my God. That's awful.
It's terrible for them.
That is terrible.
You know, I mean, they got a fake ID that has their photo and their name, different birth date, so they can get in. But they take that vaccination card up there. Got to show them both at the same time in order to get a bar and club. So,
by the way, good job, bartenders, for double checking all of this. You know, normally it's like, it's all right. Good job, bartenders of New York City and bar people of New York City people at the cashier booth where you buy alcohol. Yeah, it's too bad. You know, it's one thing to fake somebody out with a government driver's license, but a vaccination card. Now you're talking.
Yeah, you can't fake that.
That upper level of
I don't know
fakery.
Why. It just made me laugh. I mean, yeah. I'm certain that, you know, if I was 20 years old and, you know, had friends who were 21, 22, and they're all going to this bar or club, and I want to go with them. Because, you know, hey, back in the day, I had a fake ID.
Yeah, sure.
We all did. And,
I remember my roommate trying to transpose numbers onto the birth date with it was one of those things where you scratched it and it left a new number.
Okay.
Yeah. He had that whole system down. But they didn't look right. I kept telling them, I said, I don't think you're going to get, I don't think you're going to make it with this.
Yeah, I remember I got into a bar once. He was using a friend of mine ID because we kind of look similar, but not even remotely close. If you saw side-by-side photos of us, we don't look similar at all. But I guess in the dark, we kind of do. So he would go in first, and then there'd be like three people in front of us, and he would just hand the ID back all the way back to me, and I would show the same ID.
Oh, okay.
It only worked at this one bar that we'd go to all the time.
All you need is one bar.
But I think it was more of, we went to this bar every Thursday night, and it was more of like this bouncer was just checking IDs just in case a cop happened to be walking by at that exact moment that he didn't really care.
Yeah.
But I always thought I was getting away with everything.
Think about McLovin needing a new vaccination card.
He would need a fake vaccination card.
That's right. He would need a fake vaccination card, too, to go along with that Hawaii driver's
license. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, keep those guys in your prayers tonight.
Yep.
You know, those underage drinkers, unable to party with their friends.
All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Jerry Palm will join us in 18 minutes. We'll talk college football with him, some of the big matchups coming up this weekend, sort of looking back on week number 5 in college football. All right, we continue. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
Like I said earlier, Jerry Palm will join us in a couple of minutes. We'll talk to him about college football heading into week number 6. I know, I keep saying that, and I know many of you are like, wow, we're already into week 6 already. It's fun when these seasons start, and it's like the beginning, and you're like, all right, I'm in for the ride. It's like when you go to I don't know, something that's awesome. Like you're at the go to the beach for the day, and those first couple of hours, you're just like, I'm at the beach. Or you go to an amusement park or something. But then it's like by noon, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, you start knowing that the end is coming faster than when you first arrived. I know it's getting there. But at least we're at a point now where some of these games are really going to matter, right? We're kind of done. We've turned a little bit to playing some of the weaker teams to sort of get those games out of the way. Now into conference scheduling, like this Penn State Iowa game is just gigantic, huge. I mean, Alabama and Texas A&M, not so much, but, you know, Georgia's going on the road to Auburn. I don't think Auburn wins that game, but maybe there's something. I don't know. But we're at that point now where we can really consider these sort of possibilities rather than, you know, Georgia's playing, you know, Mercer or something like that. O'Reilly Auto Parts specializes in keeping your car on the road. Not sure how much life is left in your battery. O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. The professional parts people will test your battery for free. If it does need to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right one to fit your car. Superstar batteries are built to handle even the toughest conditions. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Also, hour number three, Mark Long is going to join us from the Associated Press. We're going to talk the Jaguars and Urban Meyer. I tell you guys this all the time. One of the reasons I like doing a show like this is that we nationally have a perspective on a story. You know, we sort of get a lot of stuff filtered to us. And sometimes when we see a market we're not in and we see an issue with a story, we get sort of a watered down version of what's really happening. You maybe dive into the online paper or you read some of the blogs that are going on in that town to get a better perspective. But I like bringing people on who are closer to the nucleus of the story. Are people in Jacksonville as upset with Urban Meyer over this, what's been happening, as the national media is?
Or are they hitting the panic button yet?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what's the big thing that people are talking about with Meyer? Is it the young lady he partied with on the dance floor? Not really. I think I've heard more people say, and rightly so, that's between him and his wife. I don't think the video of him dancing with a young lady at a bar on a Friday night at his restaurant is making people go, he deserves to be fired. I think we're like, respective of his family, between him and his wife, that's a marital issue that they deal with. What is angering a lot of people is he made a decision that everybody should go clear their head. It was an early week. I mean, it was a long week because they just played an early game Thursday night, so they had a longer week to prepare for Tennessee. He wanted everybody to go clear their head, and he decided not to go on the team plane when the right move would have been fly back to Jacksonville, get on a private plane back to Ohio if that's where you want to be. But you go on the plane. Now, those of us who cover football or been covering football knows that's how it works. And we know that players, even if they're playing for Carolina and they're playing in Denver, let's say, and Colorado and Denver is their hometown, they're not allowed to stay a few extra days. Like if the coach said, hey, we'll all be back on Monday, you don't get to stay and provide your own transportation. You have to be on the plane, right? If you go into a bye week, you still go on the plane. You don't disperse. You go back home with the team. That moment, you can disperse and go where you want. So whether it's a Thursday where you have a long week and you're going to take a few days off before you begin your normal week of prep, you still go back home. Then you go to where you want to go. If you're heading into a bye week, you go back home and you go where you want to go. That's where people are angry. That's where the pundits are taking their shots. Those who played, those who cover the league. Are the fans in Jacksonville as angry about that as other people? Are fans in Jacksonville, like the average guy that's going to his work at a downtown office, is he ticked off that Urban Meyer wasn't on that plane? And if not, is he mad at about anything? So we're going to get kind of a feeling for that city. Because I'll tell you right now, and I've been saying this whole time with Urban from the day he got there to now, because of who he is and because of the nature of the way he left jobs, everybody's waiting to start throwing darts at Urban Meyer. They're waiting. They're waiting for opportunities to pounce. And is this the case of that, or is it legitimate? So we'll talk to Mark Long about this coming up in hour number three.
But it's... I think the dart throwing at Urban Meyer, that's been since the moment he was hired.
Oh, yeah. Because, again, he hired the Iowa strength and conditioning coach that was accused of some racist language, and they had to get rid of him. The Tim Tebow thing was kind of a disaster.
I think it's just Urban himself because, you know, when he left Ohio State, I think it was, you know, it's that adage, you know, fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, shame on you type of thing, or fool me once, shame on you, or whatever it goes. And I think it's that situation that, you know, has people bothered because he's pulled the same, you know, card each time, like, oh, I can't do this because, you know, and it's just when the going gets hot with whatever football team he's with.
Remember when I said very beginning of when he was hired, I said, look, Shad Khan needs to sit this guy down and say, what am I getting here? Like, are you going to be here 3-4 years? If I were to keep you here, will you be here 3-4 years? I'm rebuilding. You're the guy I want to rebuild with. Are you going to bolt out of this thing whenever there's an opportunity to get back into college or get a job that's your dream job? Because it wasn't USC as much as it was Notre Dame. Like, when's Brian Kelly? What happened? You know, is Brian Kelly going to be around for a while? Like, what if that opportunity came up? He's already admitted Notre Dame would be a dream job for him. If I'm Shad Khan, I want that conversation because remember when LeBron left and Dan Gilbert ripped LeBron publicly? If I was Shad Khan, I'd rip this guy publicly if 2 years later he leaves. I would go right to the press. I'd go to every camera that would take an interview with me, and I'd say, that man sat in my office and told me he was going to be here for 4 years. And I told him what I needed out of those 4 years. If I was going to make a commitment to you, you need to make a commitment to me. We'll lose a lot of games, but we're going to start winning games together. I trust you. I believe in your plan. It may take a while, but I'm willing to commit to you the 3-4 years you're going to need to start getting this team back to winning ways. Now, if he bolts after a year and a half claiming I have heart trouble, if I'm Shad Khan, I would go to every media outlet I could and say, I'm calling crap on this. Because this is the third time now he's pulled this card. And he's done it to me just like he did it to Florida and just like he did to Ohio State. And I had a conversation with him, and he's not going to. And I'm telling you what was said in that conversation, and let it sink it to people that way. But I think you're right. I think, like, unlike other coaches in this league who are getting their first chance at being a head coach, I think he comes with so much baggage. And listen, I don't know how I feel about quote unquote picking on him because he's doing things at the NFL that don't work in the collegiate level. He's not from an NFL existence, right? Like, okay, Brandon Staley, coach of the Chargers, Dan Campbell, coach of the Lions, they all came from Arthur Smith, coach of the Falcons. They all came from the NFL culture, right? So they know what works and what doesn't work. They know what you can do and what you can't do. Urban doesn't have that information. What he needs is a guy that's like a general manager that says, here's how it's supposed to be in this league. For example, you don't say to the public that you would cut a guy who doesn't get vaccinated. That's not going to work because the players union will call you up and say, what exactly do you mean by that? When that's not a reason to end a contract. And you need to explain that. Whereas in college, you can cut a guy for any other reason. You're not obligated to keep a guy on scholarship. If he failed to live up to your standards, that's the price you pay. But not in the NFL. You're not allowed to void a guy's contract because of vaccinations. It hasn't been sorted out between the two parties, right? There's no larger entity when it comes to the NFL that they could just do whatever they want. Everything has to be approved by the players' union. If the players' union says, yeah, we have a vested interest in everybody being vaccinated, so we will allow you to release players who are not vaccinated, then you can do that. But until that happens, you can't say that to the public without us coming at your door. These are the little things that he didn't know, and he doesn't know. And the way he's handled this whole mess with what happened in Ohio, I don't think he really knows how to navigate the waters with that either because he's not used to that. Right? At Florida, you could just go, guys, I'm not talking. Bye. And you don't have to worry about it. But the NFL is different. The NFL really is different. All right. Jerry Palm will join us. Some big games in college football coming up this weekend. A couple in the SEC. Big one in the Big Ten between Penn State and Iowa. We'll have him preview that plus a little bit more as we continue along at Sports Map Radio.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, let's talk some college football. Let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Jerry Palm, CBS Sports, talking some college football. How are you, Jerry?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. Before we get to some games this weekend and some big ones nonetheless, let's talk about a little bit of last week. Cincinnati beating Notre Dame. If you are a person that is dying to see a non-Power 5 team in, are we closer to that with this win, or does Cincinnati still need the convincing and need more stuff to happen?
Both of those are true. They're definitely closer with this win, but they still need more to happen. Primarily, they have to go 13-0. So, you know, there's still games ahead of them, and they need to look like a playoff team, I think, pretty much every week. You know, if they go out and have, you know, kind of have a letdown game here against Temple this week and they only win by like 14 or whatever, and it's a game, you know, into the fourth quarter, you know, that's the kind of stuff that puts doubt in people's minds. So, you know, they need to go out and be the dominant team that they need to be in this league to, you know, keep the thought of that they could be a playoff team in the mind of the committee.
I know the AP poll and the coaches poll are more guidelines for us, and the committee is the one that matters. But the Penn State-Iowa game, one of them is bound to drop, and if Cincinnati keeps winning, that could put them in a top-four situation come Sunday. But do you think the committee in the past has seen these kind of teams and went, no, when we get to you, we're putting you down to like 10 or 11?
Well, okay, Cincinnati is going to be better than 10 or 11. Because Notre Dame, at least at this point, is probably still going to be around there.
Okay.
So, now, it is accurate to say that the polls have zero meaning to the committee. They don't care at all. In fact, they specifically exclude the polls and any poll that has a preseason starting point. So, that they're not going to look at those polls. They don't care. And nor should they care, because they're not measuring the kind of stuff
they're doing
the
committee
cares about.
Right.
Yeah, well, the polls don't measure what the committee cares about. So, you know, Cincinnati will get a fair evaluation. Their strength of schedule is going to pale to SEC and Big Ten teams and maybe some others. But undefeated is not nothing. Conference champion is not nothing to the committee. So, you know, Cincinnati has a shot. But where I think they have a problem is they're certainly not going to finish ahead of an undefeated major. Now, Oklahoma, Wake Forest, a few SEC and Big Ten teams are still left, so you've still got four major conferences with undefeated teams. There probably can't be more than two. They're also not likely to finish behind a one-loss non-champion from the SEC or the Big Ten. So, you know, those are the barriers to Cincinnati getting to four. If they can get that kind of help, if Notre Dame can continue to play well, so the quality of that win still looks good in December, if some other team in the American, like SMU would be the most likely one, can also play themselves into the rankings, even though it might mean taking two losses to Cincinnati, then I think that this, you know, can work out for Cincinnati. But things have to happen that they don't control. But the thing that they do control is looking like a playoff team every week. They need to do that.
All right, staying with last week, Alabama beat Ole Miss and Georgia shut out Arkansas. The wind out of the sails of those two programs, but they still remain in the top 25. But as far as Alabama and Georgia, Jerry, how much are they separating themselves from everybody else in college football? What gap? How wide is that gap?
Yeah, there is a gap. I would say it's noticeable gap between them and everyone else. You know, number three is Iowa. Iowa doesn't have the offensive firepower of Alabama. And as good as their defense has been, they're not Georgia's defense. You know, so it's, I think that's a pretty noticeable gap. If you had Ohio State sitting there at three, you wouldn't think it's so much of a gap because of the talent that Ohio State rolls onto the field every week. But it's, it's different. Alabama and Georgia are different right now.
All right, let's get to the Penn State-Iowa game coming up this weekend. What is the thing that you are looking for in this game, and what do you think stands out when this is over?
The first team to 10 may win. these are two really good defensive teams. You know, if they can, it's probably going to come down to who can turn the ball over. You know, if Iowa can generate turnovers, and they've been one of the best in the country. They got 7 against Maryland last Friday night. You know, if they can create, whoever can create short fields through defense or special teams, create short fields for their offense, I think it's going to have an advantage and a chance to win this game. And I actually honestly will be surprised if either team gets to 20 unless the defense or special teams is doing some of that work.
How do you, right now, and I know it's a short sample, but how are you grading the Big Ten? Does the team that wins this, how much of a driver's seat are they in? And what's the rest of the conference look like in terms of the other games on their schedule?
I mean, I think the East is stacked, right? Penn State's undefeated still. Michigan's undefeated still. Michigan State's undefeated still. All three of those teams have looked very good. Ohio State's got the loss to Oregon, but it's starting to come around a little bit. And, you know, look like the team that maybe we thought they were. I'm not going to be surprised if Ohio State wins out and wins this league. Sure. You know, that they're still the most talented team in the bunch. So the East is loaded. And even Rutgers is better. They're not, and, you know, Maryland is better. They're not a threat to those other teams, I don't think. But, you know, they're also not just going to lay down for you. And Indiana is not as good as we expected, but you still better show up and play. So, you know, the other division, though, is Iowa and 6, who knows? Wisconsin's been a disaster. Nebraska's playing better, especially defensively of late. But, you know, nobody looks like a serious threat to Iowa in the other division. So the Big Ten East is compared with almost anybody, the Big Ten West is a mess.
Let's go to Oklahoma and Texas at the Cotton Bowl coming up this weekend. Oklahoma 5-0, looking shaky. Texas looked like they're getting better, making the quarterback change, and the loss to Arkansas doesn't look as bad. Where do you see this game, and has Texas righted the ship enough?
Yeah, they're ready to go. Yeah, this is going to be a struggle for both defenses. Texas's offense has been good all along, really. Yeah, it's pretty sharp now. Would they lay 70 on Texas Tech? Not this past week, but the week before. And Oklahoma can't finish games. You know, they can get a little bit of a lead, but, you know, I don't think they've won by 7 points yet. Certainly not more than 7. So, you know, they've got to find a way to put somebody away. They're not going to take Texas lightly because, you know, that's a huge rivalry game, and that's a big game for both teams. I'm not going to be surprised if Texas wins this game, and I think it's only a 3-point line. So the line kind of indicates that, you know, we're expecting a close game, and I'm thinking high scoring.
Jerry, how much stock are we buying in Kentucky that goes from unranked to ranked? Good win against Florida. What do we know about this team? I mean, how the top 16?
Well, maybe. You know, I mean, they're undefeated this deep into the season, and they beat a team that had been in the top 10. So, you know,
you get credit for that.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't have a problem with their current ranking. We'll see what they do the rest of the way. They still have to play Georgia. I don't know what they have for cross-division games off the top of my head. I haven't really studied their schedule. But, yeah, Kentucky could be on their way to there isn't really anything that says they're not the second or third best team in this division. The rest of the division doesn't look like they're going to challenge. So Kentucky could get 9-10 wins and not be surprised at this point.
You mentioned earlier Wake Forest. They are unbeaten. But the ACC doesn't seem to be up to par. But are the Demon Deacons one of the better? You know, are they better than the rest, or are they just catching a good part of their schedule?
I think they are a threat to win the league. I don't think anybody outside their locker room thinks they're going to go undefeated. Yeah. They don't look like they're dominating what is shown to be a relatively mediocre league. But they're winning. And, you know, due credit for that. We'll see how far they go. I mean, 13-0 Wake Forest is probably a playoff team, you know, but I don't know that they're going to get to 13-0. I don't know that they're the best team in this league, but I think they're in that team picture, you know, whatever that picture is, Wake Forest is certainly, you know, a threat to win this league.
Let's go to Arizona State. They got Stanford. They seem to be a killer right now in terms of they beat USC. Clay Helton gets fired. They take Oregon down. How good is Stanford, and how good has Herm Edwards got in with the Sun Devils?
Well, a big win for Arizona State last week at UCLA, which gives them, you know, what would have been a leg up on a Rose Bowl spot if Oregon made the college football playoff, but that looks pretty unlikely now. It's going to take something of a chaos scenario for 12-1 Oregon in a league where nobody else is really all that good to get into the college football playoff at this point. But Arizona State looks like the second best team right now. And, you know, they can't have a letdown, so Stanford will show up ready to play. And they've shown that. You know, Stanford's not been consistent, but it's up to Arizona State to make them look bad. Stanford's not going to do it by themselves.
Jerry, I did want to ask you one question, and it's kind of crossing over into what's going on in the NFL right now, but you know about Urban Meyer and what's going on. People making the comment, college coach, same things don't work in the NFL. What are you making of what is going on with him and how much he's struggling at that next level?
Well, I mean, the most recent thing is totally a self-inflicted wound, right? Is it
right.
Completely unnecessary? He had enough problems without this. Urban Meyer is a guy that doesn't like to lose, almost doesn't even know how to lose, right, or deal with losing. And he went into the worst team in the NFL and was going to have a rookie quarterback, you know, with great promise, but not much around him. And I think he's not managing losing well. And that should be no surprise to anybody. So I don't know how that's going to go for him in Jacksonville, but I think if he survives the season or even October, I think we'll all be surprised. It's obvious he's lost the locker room, and that's a huge thing. I don't know how you overcome that.
Absolutely. Jerry, always good talking to you. We'll catch you up next week. Thank you so much, as always.
All right, thanks. Take care.
You got it, Jerry Palm on our Progressive guest line. Quotes, buy, and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Court Explorer, only at Progressive.com. It's a Tony D, Ron Culver at Sports Map Radio.
On Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, Throwback Thursday 2001. Barry Bonds, homer number 73 on the board 20 years ago.
I think he was rocking out to this song when he hit his
73rd
home run.
Probably was, right? This hour of Wake Up Call is presented by Rocket Mortgage. You need a mortgage to fit your life, Rocket can. I'm going to break a rule. I never like when people name drop. I always hate it, but I do it every now and then. But can I name drop my Barry Bonds encounter?
Yes.
All right. So I used to cover the Rockies, and I used to do it for a couple of different entities. So I used to work at the station. I would go for my own self. But then I freelanced for, like, USA Today and a number of the people getting quotes and writing stories. And it was a pretty good, lucrative little side gig. So I had an agreement with another writer that I would go to the visiting locker room, and he would go to the home locker room, and we would trade quotes. So for, like, 4 seasons, I never went to the Rockies locker room. Very rarely did I go to the Rockies locker room. So I always went to the visiting locker room. And part of it was kind of cool because you'd go into the manager's room and you'd sit there, and there's Tony La Russa and all these guys. And you just kind of be you'd see the guys sitting in couches and, hey, Skipper, what did you think about the second inning? And, you get quotes. So anyway, I go into the locker, and I'd go into the locker room and I'd get guys' quotes and, you know, talk to them and whatnot. So everybody knew when the Giants came to town, Barry Bonds wasn't going to talk. He didn't talk. Like, you didn't go to Barry Bonds' locker. He didn't do any of that stuff. But I remember they had one pitcher and he did really well. So we were all kind of gathering and waiting for him. And Bonds was coming out of one of the rooms and he was walking to his locker, and I was standing by the pitcher, you know, getting ready for the pitcher. And I moved away as he was walking towards the locker. And he looked up at me. We made eye contact. And he nodded his head and he went, "What's up, dude?" And I didn't know what to say. Like, I just went, "What's up?" And that's it. And I didn't know what, like, I didn't know what to say to Barry Bonds, who I knew was a steroid cheat and everything. This was like 2004. But I was like, I didn't know what to say to him. What should I have said? "I'm good. How are you?"
Yeah,
would you like,
I mean,
to have
I guess.
Coffee afterwards?
You know, I guess strike up a conversation.
Right? I was just like, "What's up?"
Tell him, like, "Hey, you know what? In a couple of years, we're going to talk about you."
Right. 20 years later,
we're going to go 73rd home run.
Real quick, I think I'll talk to you more about this in hour 3 real quick. Give me the lowdown, if you can, real quick, as I pick up this piece of paper. On Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Okay.
Because the Atlanta Falcons and the New York Jets, that's where they're playing.
Is it this weekend? We finally get a London game?
It's coming up
Sunday. You know, the season's going by too quickly.
And not at Wembley, at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
That's the new stadium.
Is that a good one?
Well, it's brand spanking new.
Okay.
So they're going to have feature games. I mean, Tottenham's a little, you know, it's like a community outside of London. So it's within that London area that they, you know, obviously they're not going to take a game, you know, head up north anywhere to like Liverpool or Manchester or Newcastle. They're going to keep it in the London area.
Okay.
And Tottenham, I mean, yeah, it's the new darling stadium. And they're,
This is the SoFi Stadium of London?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right.
I mean, it's not domed or undomed. They will have a lightning delay if there's lightning in the area. Because,
sure.
And it will make sense to you since the stadium is open.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I think both games are there this year.
Oh, that'll be great. We'll see.
Yeah, I think they're leaving Wembley alone this time.
Wembley's obviously the big one. But I wasn't sure because I was like, oh, are they taking this to an older soccer pitch stadium? Like if we were to say, if we had two football teams come to America and they said, put us in a couple of places, and we went, we've got AT&T Stadium in Dallas and SoFi Stadium, or Lambeau Field, an old, nice place to play, but, you know, kind of old.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know what Tottenham, where it was on the hierarchy compared to what we have for football stadiums here in America.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would put it in the SoFi range.
Okay, very cool. That's great. Well, have fun, Jets and Falcons, and we're sorry, Great Britain, for giving you this game. We tried. We just failed. Every time we give you trash, just don't throw it in the harbor and start a revolution or anything like that. Just take it and roll with it.